On today's episode of the Go Post Podcast, Edson and I talked about the preseason tournaments, how important are these tournaments and what we've seen from these teams in these tournaments, as well as talked about some last-minute summer transfer window moves and what could still potentially happen, as well as we put an end to the Neymar saga at this point, as well as talked about the fun upcoming schedule we have in the next couple weeks for season kickoffs and some cups that are kind of going to be played out between the winning teams from last season, and as well as talked about the FIFA Best Awards. The shortlist came out today. We talked about our thoughts, our initial impressions of this, as well as previewed a little bit of our list that will be up coming out next week. We also talked about, finished off the podcast with some FIFA versus PES debate, and talked about what we saw from both these different franchises and how we're going to make our choice this upcoming season on which one we're actually going to be spending some time with. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. How much of the International Champions Cup have you watched?
I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but I caught a couple of games. Probably the most impressing game out of those was Atletico in Madrid, and Atletico thrashing, completely destroying Madrid to pieces. Diego Costa unfortunately got kicked out of the game, got a red card. Of course,
that's something that he would be.
Yeah, doing. I mean, two big rivals going at each other. I mean, what do you expect?
And he's the king of that, of, you know, having a good game, scoring a goal, and then end up having a red card in the same game.
And what's his name, man? Young boy, João Felix, bro. He looks good, man. He looks real good. I mean, I understand it's only International Champions Cup, but I mean he looks like he has a lot of potential.
It seems like the passes that, you know, it seems like he's got the vision that we all thought he had, and
yeah, he's,
you know,
comfortable. He's very comfortable.
Yeah, he seems like he's getting comfortable playing, you know, with the big boys, and because to me, it's like, all right, you've had tremendous vision in the Portuguese league, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's one of his strong points, right? His vision, his passing ability, and playing as a second striker. Mm-hmm. But you know, not really being a striker, just being a guy that feeds other people and creates scoring opportunities, right? Because he's up there, he's a threat, but then he finds those passing lanes and passes it off.
Yeah, I feel like his position, he can switch to. He's very versatile. You can put him anywhere in the three attacking positions, but you could also put him as a center attacking mid. Naturally, yeah.
At Atletico Madrid, he's gonna probably do the Griezmann position, though. It's like the second striker. He's kind of behind
Diego, right?
Yeah, yeah, behind Diego, but you know. Aside to the side of Diego, to the left or right, he's just kind of like in a 360 playing around Diego and just trying to feed Diego Costa or Morata, whoever's starting on that team. We don't know. It's probably going to be Diego Costa, but you know, Diego Costa always has like these weird hamstring injuries and then kind of disappears for long periods of time. I haven't watched probably any games from International Champions Cup just because I was going off of the strength of previous years, right? Where honestly I didn't see many starters, you know, in different teams. And like, for example, Arsenal is one of them. I know Arsenal, like looking back on the lineups from the beginning of this tournament, they were playing like all their young guys. And then I don't know how much. So then I'm like, I don't know how many starters. I know that Bayern is probably playing with a lot of their starters. Real Madrid seems to kind of do a mix of starters.
They've had to, especially because they lost some players as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like I saw that they were playing Rodrigo. Like, I saw the Rodrigo free kick goal against the Bayern Munich. Nasty. They were, yeah, nasty free kick goal. What else? I know that Juventus kind of did like a mix of young guys plus, you know, their real starters. And, yeah, and plus this whole International Champions Cup, I don't really like it per se, because it's just, how do you say, the method, like the format's kind of stupid to me. It's like, how do you say, like, it's not knockout. It's just like, it's like a table. Yeah. Yeah. You're just playing for, I know it's a preseason tournament, but honestly, like, you know, there should be at least some stakes in it. You know, there should be something that, like, all right, you know, just to intrigue the fans.
Yeah, something that, like, should count as, like, something. That should make you want to play every single day.
Yeah, yeah. And I know some of these games got a little bit heated and whatnot. There were, you know, a couple of arguments and stuff like that. But it's like, if you add that on top, add the factor of having, you don't have to make it long. It just has to be like a knockout format. You know, maybe you play one game and that puts you in a winner's pot, and then you knock, and then you go from knockout from there, and then you know, there's a winner's pot and loser's pot. I would like that. I would like that very much, but that's not the format that's on this tournament. And I know that, like, the Audi Cup is like four teams or something like that, and that's even more ridiculous, because it's just like, oh, four teams, Audi Cup. We won the Audi Cup. Like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I haven't watched. I haven't watched because of that reason alone, because I just didn't find the importance of it. And that's what it came down to. But now looking back, it's like that a lot of these teams are like taking these opportunities for games a little bit serious and putting down, you know, putting a lot of starters to play to get in shape. You know, the season starts in like what?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like,
what are we?
A week and a half from now, some of these leagues are starting to kick off.
It starts August 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, August 3rd, we already got some, you know, cups. Basically, you know, domestic league winner versus domestic cup winner, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. So, piggying back off of what you said, Atletico Madrid trashes Real Madrid 7-3. You know, what did you kind of come away with that, other than, like, well, one thing I want to bring up while we're talking about that, Hazard, because I didn't watch the highlights. I watched the goals, but I didn't watch the highlights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So from my understanding, okay, from what I'm getting out of them is, so before he even comes to the team, right, we're having all these expectations. We're thinking, man, Hazard is going to ball out. Of course, man. It's just, you know, it's just the beginning. He's still getting used to his players, to his teammates, to the people around him. But I feel like with Hazard, he seems to be kind of lost in field, I would say. Like, just having a hard time adapting.
But we saw the same thing with Griezmann, right?
Yes, yes, yes,
you,
yes.
You
we did
one
see
of
that.
The preseason
yes, I,
games
I said
and you,
I told
and
you
you
that
mentioned,
too.
Yeah.
Yes, I did tell you that. I did.
So it's not a surprise. It's part of the growing process of, you
the
know,
part of the
switching
part of
teams,
yeah,
switching
exactly.
leagues.
Yep. It's all of that. But
it doesn't help that he showed up like 7 kilos above his
yes, that is a problem.
Weight.
Not only that, I feel like Real is just, I think a lot is going on. Like, just everything's falling through the cracks, I think. I think we could get a surprise out of Zidane. It's just like a whole bunch of stuff is happening. I mean, with the team, with the players. You know, you got players that are injured, players that you were expecting to be able to use, and now you have to depend on young talent like Vinicius. But even with Vinicius, I feel like he's having a hard time just just being able to get out there, especially with Zizou as the coach.
The coach.
Yeah, so
Zidane doesn't seem to like Vinicius Jr.
Yeah, right? he said it himself. He doesn't see anything that he is impressed by. So I feel like that makes Vinicius' job as a player tougher than it already is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, to win a spot on that team is going to be
It's going to be tough. I mean either he goes out on loan somewhere else, or, you know what I'm saying, it's just going to be another talented kid. Of course, has to grow up a lot.
He's not going
to
go out on loan. I don't think they let him go out on loan just because at this point.
You need him, kind of.
I mean, Asensio's hurt. Yeah, you need him. Asensio's hurt. What else? You know, so going through their injuries, what happened to them? Asensio's hurt.
Asensio, his knee, torn ACL. Courtois, yep, his ankle. Done.
Courtois ankle, he'll probably come back in like a couple weeks.
Yeah, man, I forgot.
Was it Mendy? Mendy was the other one?
Yes, Mendy got hurt. Yes, Mendy did get hurt.
I feel like we're missing one more. I don't know. I can't come off the top of my head. But yeah, so they've got a hefty amount of injuries, honestly. And basically, you know, I don't know. It's at this point, it's kind of like there's some bad mojo going around Real Madrid right now because, oh, Luka Jovic got hurt.
Yes, that is.
That's
that,
another
that
one,
is,
right?
That is.
He got hurt. Yeah. And Brahim Diaz, which was like the signing that they got from Manchester City, he got hurt as well. So that it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, what kind of happens to that team at. And I don't know what the timeline is for these guys to return. I have no idea what the timeline is for these guys to return. So Courtois, Asensio's done. Luka Jovic, which is like a new signing. Brahim Diaz, new signing. Ferland Mendy, new signing. Three of their new signings, all with injuries. I'm assuming the timeline for these guys to come back is probably over 2 weeks, over 3 weeks. So he's probably not going to start the season with these guys. And that's a huge blow. Like, you spent all that money and all those signings, and then you turn around and basically you can't even use him at the beginning of the season because these guys are all hurt. And which all ties into why Real is now including James Rodriguez in their plans for the next season, right?
Because they're going to need that, especially with all these players injured and just all this stuff going on. I mean, you need a veteran presence. A guy that's more experienced, I would say. I wouldn't say truly completely a veteran, but a guy that's more seasoned to play in the position that he'll be playing.
And I feel like Real Madrid, honestly, if I was because I like James. I like James Rodriguez a lot. I like the way he plays. I like his positioning. I really liked him at Bayern. I feel like he lost his spot in Bayern. But if anything, he showed us in the Copa America that he's still the same guy that he was before. He's still versatile. He's still very much a threat from outside of the box with incredible shots.
He can especially create as well.
His playmaking ability is top notch, and he's snubbed at every point that, you know. And I was really rooting for him when there was a couple of rumors last week before all these injuries about, you know, Carlo Ancelotti, the old Real Madrid coach that's now coaching at Napoli. He was saying that it would have been a pleasure to have James Rodriguez join Napoli, and I was really rooting for. That's a perfect place for him to go to, his Napoli, because that team is sneaky good. Napoli's, I thought they were good last season when they were in the Europa, when they were in the Champions League, and they gave Liverpool some trouble in their group. They gave PSG trouble in that group, and they didn't qualify. They didn't qualify to get out of the group, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought they were gonna be a foot in the door for the Europa League final, and they ended up not making it to the final. I think Arsenal knocked them out. And you know, the rest is history. But that team has a lot of pieces that I feel like James would have, you know, James would have brought him to the next level, because they have a lot of pieces on that team that are really good players, and I was really rooting for him to go there, but unfortunately, he's gonna stick at Real. And from the perspective that we have now, from outside looking in right now, where would you place Real? Like, how would you say, like, what's the worst case scenario for them for a season finish? What's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is probably,
realistically, don't say like, oh, I, you know, best case scenario would be, obviously best case scenario would be winning Champions League, but realistically for this team, based on what you see right now.
So I think Champions League wise, I feel like it's kind of a doom. I mean, they'd be...
Do they get out of groups?
I think they'd be lucky to get out of groups. I mean, it depends. I wouldn't say that, because it also depends where they line up.
Depends on the group.
But you see, when you get to the quarterfinals, semifinals, that turns into a whole different ball game. But if they do get out of the group stage, I think they'd be lucky to get out of the quarterfinals.
I think they make it to the round of 16. So they get out of groups, but they get knocked out on the knockout phase. The first knockout game, they get knocked out. That's what I think. For the Champions League, for La Liga, I think they finish third or fourth.
Oof. You're a long shot off me.
Why, you think they finish second?
No, man. I think La Liga, bro, best case scenario, fourth. Worst case scenario, fifth.
Fourth. What other three teams would you put in front of them?
Definitely Barcelona.
Yeah, that's one. Atletico and Barca.
Atletico and Barca, foot in the door. Definitely. Yeah.
And then what other team you put in front of them?
Let me see here.
I put them in third, because I think Atletico is really gonna give Barcelona a run for their money this year. Well, at least I hope and I root for it. I feel like Atletico has made good signings, smart signings to fix whoever left. And honestly, Barca's got all this firepower. They've got, you know, Griezmann up there now, and you know, who knows what else can happen before the season starts, but I feel like it's not going to really, you know, we haven't seen all these guys play yet.
So
Griezmann alongside with Messi.
So, okay. So you asked me, so this past year, it was Barca, Atletico, Real, Valencia. Man, it all depends, bro. If this Valencia squad.
I wouldn't put Valencia ahead of.
You can't do that. Yeah. Third, best case scenario, fourth, worst case scenario then, just like you said, yeah. I mean, I would have to go with that. But, I mean, with all this stuff that's going on, bro, I don't know. Especially with that, I feel like now, I'm going to let you get to it, but, you know, that whole tension with Gareth Bale and Zizzo, so it's, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going on? But like, honestly, like last Saturday, last Friday, I was at I was somewhere, and somebody had just turned around to me and said, "Oh, it seems like Bale is leaving Real," and I was like, "Oh, good for him." You know, I wonder where he's going. I'm like, so I asked, you know. Where's he going? And it's like, oh, he's going to some team in China, Jiangsu or whatever. And it was like for like a ridiculous amount of money. And his salary was going to be like a million a week or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, some astronomical,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. He was going to get like 52 million pounds a year to play there, which is like, that's like crazy amount of money. That's like, I can't even put, I don't even understand how that's even possible. For a guy, an athlete like him that hasn't shown all that much greatness in the last couple months or last couple years, and this guy's getting 52 million pounds a year. So like I thought that was weird to begin with. That price was weird. And then, you know, basically 12 hours later, or even, or maybe like actually like probably like close to 15 hours later, he I guess the deal fell through. And apparently, you know, Bale's agent says that, oh, you know, it was no one from our side, no one from Bale's family, no one from, you know, our camp said anything bad. We were hoping everything was going to go through and Bale was going to leave. And apparently, you know, Real Madrid president says that he didn't do anything wrong, but people are indicating that he did, that, you know, they put the team's ego. And I think that's when the 7-3 happened, right? The 7-3 game was on that Friday night.
Yeah.
Right? Let me see when that Friday, what was it? Let me see. 7-3. When did it happen? July 26th. When was July 26th?
July 26th was, that Friday? Was a Friday. Yep.
Yep. That Friday. Yep. So that Friday night, and all I saw was the memes about Bale sitting on the bench and like basically smirking and, you know, laughing it off, like, yeah, you guys are getting destroyed now and I'm leaving. I'm on my way out. And you also factor in the fact, you know, factor in the injuries that happened. Asensio's is, you know, getting injured, Jovic getting injured. So now you need, you're not going to start the season with good firepower up front. You're not going to start. I know for a fact that they're not going to try to start the season with Benzema, Hazard, and Vinicius Junior or Rodrigo as starters. They probably want to have that front three where it's like Benzema, Hazard, and Bale. They would rather have that front three than having, you know, Hazard, Benzema, and Rodrigo or Vinicius Junior or Kubo. We don't really know at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's probably a big factor, but honestly, I'm very conflicted on how I feel about this because I hate the fact of players going to China. That's number one. I hate it when players go to China.
It's not because good for as you, a man. Soccer,
yeah, no, it's great for them. They make a lot of money. Long term, short term, they make a lot of money. Long term, I don't know how that helps your career because, like for example, I don't know if you were following soccer at this point, Edson, but there was this guy. So when James was coming up. Right when James was about to hit the global scene, they were playing. He was playing at Porto from Portugal, right?
Okay.
And he was playing alongside this guy called Jackson Martinez. Guy was a beast, man. This guy was a beast. He was, you know, him and James were destroying that league. And I think Jackson went to. He basically went to Atletico Madrid. I want to say. I can't remember, but I think he went to Atletico Madrid. He went to Atletico Madrid, played 15 games or something like that. Like something is super low, like 10 games, 15 games, something like that. And he scored his first game, and I think he scored maybe like a couple more times. And basically, he dipped. He dipped to China.
Whoa, man.
And just yeah, like that. And he did. Yeah, he dipped to China, made mad money, and he didn't even play that many games because he kept getting hurt. He dipped to China, made mad money, and then now he's like in like some crappy team in Portugal, I want to say. Let me see where he's at.
I think he's in Porto, no?
Portimonense. Portimonense. Which is like a... it seems like they finished 12th this past season in the Portuguese league. And it's like, see, like, so he went from Porto, which is the best team in Portugal, to, you know, and he was going to be a starter in Colombia. He was going to be like the guy, you know, him and James were going to be the next generation up. And now this guy's 32 years old and he's on loan to some Portuguese club because, you know, the people that bought him probably don't even want him or he doesn't want to stay in China and he's trying to get out. Because that's what happens with a lot of these clubs. It's like they sign these big contracts, these long-term contracts, and then they live in China, and they're not happy living there, but they're making tons of money. Tevez is an example of that. Tevez had to try to get out of his contract a specific way so he can go back to Argentina. Who else did that recently? Drogba. Drogba's another guy. Drogba's happy in Phoenix. He lives in Phoenix. Drogba, the Chelsea legend, he lives in Phoenix right now, and he plays the second division soccer, and he's super happy. But he said that he was miserable when he was in China, and he was making 20 times what he makes now. Probably even more than that. So, like, that's why I say, like, as a soccer fan, it makes me unhappy that these guys go to China. But also as a player,
also
you shouldn't
bad
be
for
them.
For Bale, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to make a ton of money, but are you really going to be happy? And how is your career going to be after you're there for whatever years that you're there for, right? Are you still going to make the national team? That's a good question, right? Are you still going to be a successful soccer player after that?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all questions that come into play with these guys going to China. And honestly, Bale's dodging a bullet, but at the same time, I would like to see him play. I would like to see him find other than Real Madrid. I feel like they spent a lot of money on him. It paid off in certain times, but it hasn't paid off overall, the investment that they made on Bale. Because they made an investment on Bale, like he was supposed to be amongst the top five players in the world. And he's not. Yeah. He's not that. And I was hoping that he was going to end up going back to where he came from, to go back to Tottenham. But
that would be fun, man.
Yeah, as a fan, that's what you want. But they don't have that money for him. It would have to be like a special.
That turns out to be complicated.
Yeah, it would have to be like Real Madrid have to take a big discount, or you know, maybe Tottenham could give Eriksen in exchange, and then you know, Real Madrid would knock down the price by a lot. But I don't see that happening now with all these, you know, what's going on now at Real Madrid. They don't want to pass that image of like, you know, it's a dumpster fire here. They want to say like, all right, everything's under control. We're going to keep Bale. We have a plan and whatnot. But
yeah, but they really don't probably.
Yeah, that was the talk of the week. I'm sure Zidane is going to fix things, and he's going to put his system back into place and add some structure into that team. But it seems like there's a huge disconnect between the front office and the management and the directors and the actual team staff and the coaching and stuff like that, because before Zidane came in, there wasn't a clear-cut future plan. And then Zidane comes in, they make these good signings. I'm sure Zidane had a choice in who he was signing and pick on who they were signing. And now it's like, and now they're back into that vicious circle of, you know, what's going on is, you know, are we doomed to fail the season? Are they doomed to fail and the season hasn't even started yet? But I think it's, you know, we'll see how how the season starts and what happens. That's one of the teams that I'm definitely going to be watching very closely in the beginning of the season, just to see what happens to them, because this week has been like the week of hell for Real Madrid and for Real Madrid fans, honestly.
Unfortunately, it's been that way. You would expect a whole lot more from them.
And then on the opposite side, and I just wanted to throw this little blurb in, we don't have to spend too much time. Arsenal finally makes some good moves. They basically got Dani Ceballos from Real Madrid, which I was 100% surprised and 100% up. You know, they got all my approval on that. I like Dani Ceballos. I don't know if you've seen him play before. I don't know if you've seen his, you know, his highlights, but
not from what I can remember now.
He basically. What was it? A couple years back, there was the Euros for under 20 players, right? And he was playing for Spain, and he just destroyed everybody. He looked amazing in that tournament. Obviously, it's an under 20 tournament, so it's like it's all, you know, prospects and kind of guys that are, you know, up and coming. But he looked like he was a step ahead of everybody. And every time I see him on the field, I like what I see. I just don't think that he's had a chance to break out. And Spanish guys do really well when they come to the Premier League. When Spanish guys come to the Premier League, they typically play well. You know, David Silva. You know, now you got a lot of guys like Pedro. Pedro just scored a nasty goal like a couple of days ago, and Pedro had an okay season. He didn't have the best. He's obviously at the, you know, at a point of his career that he's not really peaking anymore. But I feel like a lot of the Spanish guys come to the Premier League, they typically play very, very well. Fabregas is one of them. Fabregas had an amazing career in the Premier League. So Dani Ceballos, great choice right there. And then you have Nicolas Pepe, which is a guy I've been I've been bringing him up a lot in the offseason. I was surprised that no one was jumping on him, even though there was like tons of rumors surrounding him. Arsenal break the bank because they said they were only going to spend 40 million euros or 40 million pounds. And turns around, they go and they give 80 million pounds to Nicolas Pepe to get Nicolas Pepe. And now a lot of people are coming out saying that, you know, oh, if you got to compare Nicolas Pepe to somebody, it's Hazard. That's the comp right there, is Hazard. He's a Hazard type player. So Arsenal don't have that. And Arsenal are missing somebody to play on that right wing.
And Pepe could fit that.
He could fit that because that's where he plays. It's that right wing. So you could have Aubameyang on the left wing, Lacazette looking central, and then Nicolas Pepe on that right. And man, you already know.
This is going to be a fun, fun season of soccer, man.
You already know that Arsenal's going to be my squad. You know,
yeah,
Arsenal already is
squad.
My squad. But, man, in FIFA, man, like I'm going to go back to playing with Arsenal now.
That's going to be a nice squad, man. That is going to be a nice squad.
So now, like, you know, like for them, this doesn't change a whole lot because they're, you know, they're not doing the Champions League. They're not playing in the Champions League. The Premier League, I don't expect them to win it. I expect them to at least reach fourth place. That should be
a
finish.
Whoa. Nah, don't underestimate them like that, man. You could put them at least third.
It's going to be tough because I put Man City in front of them. I put, obviously, Man City. I put Liverpool finished either second or third because they're keeping the same players. They're keeping that same nucleus. And they got a great coach behind them. So I think third or second could be a spot for Liverpool. And then I would put Tottenham above them, dude. I really think Tottenham, they got very, very close. They got to that final. But at the same time, nothing's changing for them. They didn't have anybody that was big walk away. And they added to their team with Tanguy Ndombele, the guy from Lyon, the midfielder from Lyon. And they're trying to get Lo Celso. If they get Lo Celso, honestly, they're set up because their biggest weakness to me was their midfield. Son is like a great attacking player. They got Lucas up front still. They got Harry Kane is back, and let's see if he plays the whole season. Their defense is still solid. They got a great goalie. And to me, their weakest point is that midfield. It's whether or not, you know, those guys can create and build, you know, build plays for their attack. And they didn't have that firepower in the midfield. And now I feel like, you know, obviously they're not going to, you know, come in, you know, guns blazing, but at the same time they're better prepared now to make a deeper run in the you know, be more consistent in the Premier League and maybe get, you know, a second place finish, a third place finish.
Well, the thing that's interesting about Arsenal as well, of course you got some old heads on the team, but this dude Mateo as well. The thing about Arsenal, though, is that they're not going to play in the Champions League this year, but finishing well in the Premier League is going to set them up for a great opportunity in Champions League, because you're going to have all these young players, all these great players, hungry to win, hungry to get something done. And, of course, Lacazette, Aubameyang, these guys playing for next year for that Champions League, that's going to be fun to watch, man. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch them now in the Premier League making it competitive, but just the fact that they're going to be able to have this young player and be able to prepare towards it is just awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And what's it called? They went and got another defender, Saliba, but they got him and they loaned him right back to where he was coming from. You know, he's coming from France, and they just turned around and loaned him right back to Saint-Etienne. You know, two good signings for them, which is very surprising for me because I had low expectations on this summer for them. And Nicolas Pepe is supposed to be announced in the next coming days. I think he was doing his medical today or either tomorrow. Who knows when he's doing these? But basically, Aubameyang and Lacazette were basically already putting stories doing his signature goal celebration. So it seems like they're excited to play alongside this guy. So basically, Lacazette is French. So there's that right there. So there's that connection right there. Now Aubameyang played in France before. So all these guys can, you know, link up and maybe link up better than I know Mkhitaryan. Because Mkhitaryan was the other guy that was supposed to do the trio, but Mkhitaryan couldn't really, you know, wasn't consistent enough to get on the field and to play alongside. Because Lacazette and Aubameyang, they got good chemistry. If you can get somebody else, you can get a third guy in there that's fast, speedy, like Nicolas Pepe is, and they get good chemistry along. So that it's going to be a great front three to have. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on, Dybala. Rumors about Dybala for sale, and then obviously gathering interest from Spurs and Manchester United for, you know, potential landing spots. And but there's rumors that he wants to stay in Juventus. He wants to stay there. I don't blame him. That team is kind of set up for a deep Champions League run.
Yes.
So I don't blame him that he wants to stay. But it looks like, you know, the director there is probably looking at it like, what have you done since Ronaldo has gotten here? And he's only in Dybala has only kind of his output has only decreased. And it doesn't, whenever I see him and Ronaldo in a lineup, I know that Dybala is not really going to be a dangerous guy. He's not going to really do much. He's not going to offer you anything. And I don't know how you can fix that. I don't know what you can do to fix it. But at the end of the day, it's like that's probably what they're looking at. It's his output in the last 3 years. And, you know, you got a decrease the year before. And then the year after that, when Ronaldo comes through, you get an even bigger drop off there. So, you know, Sale is not crazy to me. I wouldn't sell Dybala just because I like Dybala as a player. I like the talent that he has. I like his skills. Mm-hmm. But for a potential landing spot being the Spurs or Manchester United, I mean, what do you think of it all?
So Dybala to me, I did see a lot of reports. I actually told you this before, the link between Lukaku and Dybala, them doing that switch off. As a fan of the sport, I would like to see Lukaku in a position where he's playing with one of the greats to play the game and have an opportunity to succeed.
Just so I can fill everybody in listening, you're mentioning the rumor about the swap. Dybala for Lukaku.
Yeah.
A straight up swap for each other. Man U gives out Lukaku, Dybala, they get Dybala, and then Juventus gets Lukaku, which to me doesn't make any freaking sense for Juventus. Yeah, for Juventus, this makes zero sense to me because, one, Lukaku plays as a center forward. Ronaldo is your center forward. Ronaldo is not a left winger anymore. Because whenever the ball is being played,
so that switched off. Okay.
Yeah. Whenever the ball is being played,
in that case, that becomes an issue. But I mean,
I haven't understand these rumors about Lukaku being linked to Juventus. I haven't understood them at all because, from the perspective of Man United, this sounds great for them. Like, oh, we're getting Dybala. That's a great talent. That's an amazing talent. And you're getting off of Lukaku, which is like a high wage guy, right? You're paying Lukaku a lot of money on his salary, uh-huh. And he's not a guy that's getting any younger. And you know, you got a really young team around him. So it's like, all right, let's get off this asset and try to turn him into something that's a little younger. And basically a little bit more versatile that can help us. Man United is getting the better side of that deal. Lukaku, to me, on the Juventus squad doesn't make sense at all.
Because of the lack, not even the lack, it's because the lack of Juventus not needing him on that squad for that position. Yeah. In that case, it wouldn't make sense for Juventus. But if you look at it, for example, Maybe a plan for them would probably be throwing Ronaldo back at the winger and then putting Lukaku in the center forward position. Maybe that could be a plan for them, but I don't know if that's something that they would probably have an idea of doing.
That would be too many slow bodies, though. Like if you're looking at a lineup, how you're building the lineup, you're gonna have Lukaku up front, And then you're going to say Ronaldo's going to be on the wing. And then right off the bat, you're losing two players because Ronaldo's not going to run back. Ronaldo's not going to sprint back on defense. You know what
that
I'm saying?
That is true.
Ronaldo's not going to sprint on the attack buildup because that's not what he does anymore. He doesn't grab the ball and sprint down the field. That's not what he does. Basically, what he does is you know, get himself inside the box so that he can create a, you know, basically header it in or shoot it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my thing with, like, for example, when I look at Dybala, as a person that's a fan of the sport, it would be interesting to see him go to, like, another squad like Tottenham where he's getting constant PT.
I think he got a good amount of PT this past season. I just don't think he
but
did
I'm
it.
Saying
I don't think
be
he
a
did
starter. It. I feel like Dybala is a player that deserves to be a every game, everyday starter. But
he was though, Edson. I don't think he did what was expected of him.
We could say that as well. And you also could say he was a little bit outshined by Douglas maybe. But I mean.
I just think Douglas didn't play all that much this past season. He had, you know, the injury that he was coming back from, a lot of issues going on. He was suspended for a while, so it wasn't Douglas either. Douglas didn't outshine him either. It was just a matter of there wasn't that much offensive output from that team, and they got rid of Higuain. Let's not forget that. Because they loaned him to Milan, and then Milan loaned him to Chelsea, right? So Higuain was not in their plans. A number nine player was not in their plans, and so basically they're like, all right, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be the striker that we need, right? So everybody else, you guys are going to have to either feed him or create your own goals. You guys got to do certain stuff, and this past season, Douglas Costa scored a single goal, didn't produce any assists. He had one good game, one great game, and he only played a total of 10 games.
That's crazy.
So that's Douglas Costa for you. And then if you even look at, going back to looking at a Dybala, right? Because, you know, he's the other guy that's supposed to be the attacker and the difference maker on this team. Dybala played a total of 24 games, okay? That's a good amount. So it's not every single game. It's not every single game, but he scored a total of 5 goals, produced 4 assists, and played amazing in 4 different games out of 24.
That's not bad.
That's not good either. That's mediocre to me. If you're the second option on a Champions League winning team, you should be producing more than that.
So he scored how many goals again?
5.
Okay. Yeah, because I see Moises scored 6, and he barely played, so yeah, that's not...
Yeah, Moise played 6, dude, 8 games total in 6 goals.
Yeah, that's not good.
And he's 19, and not a starter. He probably came in those games as a bench guy.
Yeah, Paulo had 4 assists this past season. Yeah, he didn't have a phenomenal year. I mean, I feel what you're saying. He needs to become more reliable, I would say.
Just to compare somebody completely different, right? Because this guy didn't have such a great season, but just to compare, right? Salah, right? We look back at Salah's season, we're like, Salah didn't have such a great season, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Premier League alone, Salah scored 22 goals and produced 8 assists.
That's crazy, man.
That's the type of level that at least somewhere close, 10 goals, 10 assists. That's I'm just saying that Dybala produced about half of what he was expected to produce.
Yeah, that's not... That is quite complicated. You would expect more of him. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Looking at the numbers here. Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, someone like Cristiano scored 21 goals at Serie A and 8 assists. him by himself at freaking 34 years old. You know, the least.
Yeah, he was a top. I think he was top three in scoring.
Yeah, top three or top four.
And he was
like
top five or top six in assists this past year, which is crazy.
And you know, that's the type of things that you got to look into is the fact that this guy, how do you say? This guy.
Yeah, look,
is,
Ronaldo had. Ronaldo scored 21 goals, and he had 8 assists, man. He was top 5. So, what's his name? Dybala is up here, but he's 45th on the list with 4 assists. So, yeah.
It's like, it just goes to show, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they need that firepower. They need that second guy that's going to produce at least half of the stat. And I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo is going to do the same amount of stats that he just did in this past year.
Nah, he's on a downfall. It's
yeah, he's on a down trajectory. And it's just age. Age just, you know, catches up with you. He's got, you can see he's still physically fit, right? He's still got, like, he's probably in amazing shape. But he doesn't have that peak speed that he once used to have. And so then you have that. You know, you can't expect him to just carry this team. You need to put guys around him that are going to score goals. Now, is Lukaku that guy? I don't think so. Lukaku's not. You don't need a guy that. I think you have a goal scorer in Cristiano Ronaldo. What you need now is an assist guy. And to me, if I was Juventus, the guy that I would go after 100% is James Maddison.
James Maddison?
Yeah, he plays for Leicester City. And he, last year, he was the, basically, I think he broke the record for most chances created in a season. This guy's a ball, yeah. He's an English guy. They just got Aaron Ramsey, right? From Arsenal, which to me, I liked Ramsey a lot. Ramsey was one of my favorite players in the Arsenal team. And it doesn't hurt to go and get another British guy. So, you know, British guys are finally leaving the Premier League and going other places and being successful. You can see that in Jadon Sancho, Reece Nelson. What else? Who else is, you know, Kieran Trippier is now going to Atletico Madrid, and he's been doing okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of players they need, is creators, guys that are going to create things, you know, for other players and create goals for Ronaldo. At the end of the day, you want a good system. You want to capitalize on your strengths and getting Lukaku.
Yeah, but
we also
have to understand as well that Ronaldo is getting old. What do you call it? He is getting old, but so they have to look at other options. They can't always depend on Ronaldo. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, look, James Maddison this past year, he had 13 big chances created. Ryan Fraser had 28. But I'm guessing James probably doesn't play as much.
No, he played a lot, but he probably has more assists than Ryan Fraser.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
What am I looking at? Yeah, so like that's basically my take on that whole Lukaku Dybala thing. And then moving on from there, what else is, and that's the thing, Lukaku, just move, before we move on, Lukaku had, I thought Lukaku had stronger ties to Inter Milan. And I mentioned the previous episode, cause, the previous episode that we had, that, Lukaku, a swap between Lukaku and Icardi would have made a lot of sense for both Man United and Inter Milan, you know, because Man United is trying to move away from Lukaku, and Icardi, they're trying to, you know, get something, a new face there. And Inter Milan and Icardi and Inter Milan's relationship isn't all that great, so they're trying to move away from Icardi. Both teams are happy there. To me, it doesn't make sense for Juve to go and get Lukaku. It does not make sense at all. What else is Man United trying to do? They're still trying to get Bruno Fernandes. It looks like a lot of people are giving up on trying to get Bruno Fernandes. Man City, seems like talks have died down. Liverpool, it seems like they're done. Their books are shut, and whatever team they have is a team that they're going.
He's a baller, man. He's a good player, man.
Exactly, and you know, and it seems like Man United is still trying to fix whatever they have, and if Man United and they're extending a lot of contracts that I feel, you know, that it doesn't make sense to me, like Anthony Martial, they just extended his contract. You know, they weren't even using this guy last season, and it's like, you know, they're offering all this money.
And he's another young kid too. I think he's like what, 24, 25?
Martial, yeah, Martial's got to be young. He's got to be really young. I don't know how old he is exactly. He's probably like 23, 24. But he came to that team really young. 23.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's 23. It's weird.
23 years old. Played a total of 18 games last season. Scored 10 goals and had 2 assists. And
he plays left wing or left mid.
He plays left wing. He plays on the left wing. He's supposed to be a center forward. When they bought him, he played as a center forward before Lukaku came.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on fire the first like few first games that he was playing as a center forward. He's on fire. He was flying. And then Lukaku came and they threw him onto the left and he wasn't as effective. You know, he's not a really true number nine, but he's a speedy striker. He's kind of like Aubameyang. Aubameyang, when he was in Dortmund, he was like the single striker in the middle, and he was very effective. There's just those guys, right? Those speedy strikers that are just effective. And that's mm-hmm. the type of player he was. Lukaku comes over, things change. He gets put in the left. He doesn't become as effective anymore. And off of the strength of having 10 goals and 2 assists and off of 18 games alone, you would have think that this guy should have played more, but no, and that's more Mourinho's fault. That's more Mourinho's fault because Mourinho just didn't like certain guys on that team. But I like Martial more than I like Rashford.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, they've got, you know, to me, the only thing I want to see what Daniel James does on that team. I want to see how he looks on that team. I want to see, you know, Angel Gomes is everybody talking about Angel Gomes and how good he is. But I don't know.
We are going to have, it's going to be, man, I'm psyched for this upcoming season. I mean, I'm going to be able to stay connected with a whole bunch of games. So it's going to be fun, man. I know that.
Yeah, for sure. And what else? Basically, what else we got? Neymar saga still. Do you want to talk about the Neymar saga?
Nah, bro. Let's keep it moving, man.
You sure?
Yeah, because there's nothing really to talk. I mean,
at this point, the point that I had put the note here for us to talk about it, there was still stuff, you know, potential for stuff to happen. Right at this point, it doesn't seem like anything's gonna happen. It seems like he's gonna stick around at PSG.
I actually did see a report though, that apparently Leonardo, I don't know. So the source that it was from, I'm not too certain about, but apparently Leonardo has asked him to stay to commit just one more season, and next season they'll definitely sell him. But like I told you before, man, if Neymar just shuts up and plays soccer, bro, I think he'll be out of there by the next transfer window.
We had this conversation. What is expected of him this year? And I can't remember what I said, but I think I said something along the line of, I expect him to be a top scorer, in League
put
One.
Put Ballon d'Or numbers up, even if you don't get it. But put Ballon d'Or numbers up.
Yeah.
And if he can do that. And you'll gain that respect, man.
And get to that semifinal in the Champions League. That's what I want from him. That's me personally as a fan. That's what I want from him. I want him to lead assists in goals in League One, which is a weak league to begin with. So that's the least of our expectations. You have to at least hit that. And he can't really mm-hmm. complain about that because Mbappe just did it. You know?
Yeah.
I know Mbappe did.
Is Mbappe better than Neymar?
No. I don't know. I'm sure the people want to have that conversation. I'm sure people want to have that conversation.
No, it's not even a conversation to be had, but okay.
You don't think so?
No, totally. Mbappe has a lot to do.
Mbappe has a World Cup.
Cristiano and Messi don't have a World Cup. Does that make Mbappe better than them?
No, but I'm saying, you know, if you compare Mbappe to Neymar, that's one thing that I'm just throwing out, that that's something. I'm not saying that that alone means that he's better than Neymar. I'm just saying, you know, that's a point for Mbappe.
Mbappe, yeah, that's a point for him.
Mbappe doesn't get hurt all the time. That's another point for Mbappe.
That is true. That is true.
But at the same time, you know, Neymar has been playing long. It's kind of tough. You can't compare those two guys. They're completely different generations. It's easier to compare Messi to Ronaldo because their playing window was very much the same. Mbappe's like, what, 20 now? So he's just starting. Yeah. His career is still just kicking off. And Neymar has 7 years ahead of him in terms of career. So it's kind of tough to kind of gauge that. And then, you know, Neymar has won a Libertadores, which isn't as strong as a Champions League, but it's the equivalent to the Champions League in South America. So, and now, you know, he did it with a weak team and, you know, made it to the Club World Cup against Messi and obviously lost against Barcelona.
Yeah, it's over 20 trophy. I mean, that's why to me he's undebatable. I mean,
but but it's definitely a conversation that people are probably having. I'm not saying that we should have that conversation, but it's definitely something that people are talking about.
I mean, we could probably we could probably do comparisons if Mbappe leaves League One, and we see him playing under a different light. Neymar has proved that he can. He won a Champions League for Barcelona, as a person that was up there scoring points, not just, you know, there. Yeah.
Made a difference. So, saved their butt a lot of times. Yep.
Yeah. So we could compare if that was the case. But right now, it's, I don't know.
What else? Let me see here. Yeah. So
we said we weren't going
to
talk about
names. Yeah. We ended up talking about it. Well, I mean, just a point to kind of put across, just to kind of finalize it. Like, it looks like PSG lost, you know, they missed out on De Jong. They lost De Ligt, right? That was the biggest, you know, one of the biggest, you know, signings for the summer. And they lost on that one. And now I don't think they want to lose Neymar because I don't want that to, you know, I don't think that they want that to be the driving part of the legacy of their club, is the fact that here's their biggest signing that they've ever had in club history, aside from, you know, not counting Mbappe, because I just don't count Mbappe, because Mbappe's numbers are kind of skewed. Mbappe's definitely the biggest signing they've ever had, but it's just the money is, you know, the way that they paid for that sale is kind of weird in terms of they hid away the fee, they didn't disclose the fee, then they partially disclosed the fee. I'm not going to get into that, but the biggest high marking, you know, marquee guy that they ever bought, Neymar, is now demanding to leave. And it doesn't help that Mbappe throws hints about him potentially playing at Real Madrid at some point in his career. So
it's going to happen though. It's going to happen.
No, it probably will, but I'm just saying it doesn't help that either. So it's like, as a club, PSG, they're always fighting to prove to everybody else that they're an elite European club, even though they don't have an elite European club front office, right? They're missing, their front office is a mess. They don't have the level of talent some of these other big European clubs have. They don't compete in a top elite. I mean, they're a top five league, but out of the top five, they're the bottom, right?
Yeah, so they're fifth. Always, I mean, their competition is not in comparison to what La Liga is,
Premier League, German, Bundesliga, Italian Serie A. So it goes to show that this team is always fighting to prove that they're elite. I do have to give it to them that their marketing agency is elite. Because I see all these rappers, I see PSG, I see like mad celebrities going to their games, I see, you know, their Air Jordan collaboration for the jerseys, that was really smart. You know, they're everywhere. PSG is everywhere in terms of, you know, marketing and brand presence. But everything else is lacking. So I see it from their perspective, like, all right, we can't let Neymar go. That's just not going to happen. And the deals that were being brought on the table, I thought that, you know, them choosing, and I mentioned it before in a previous podcast, that them choosing Dembele and Rakitic, or Dembele and another midfielder, I wouldn't say Coutinho, but let's just say Dembele and Coutinho, Dembele and Rakitic, I would have taken that deal if I was PSG. Because then, yeah, because then you can build off of two young guys. Dembele on one side, Mbappe on the other. You find a replacement for Cavani at some point. And boom, you're ready to go for the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be smart. Yeah.
Yeah, you can compete now and you got a future lined up right ahead of you. You know what I'm saying? And you're fixing one of your problems, which is in the midfield. You're bringing in Rakitic in there. But no, they're like, no, let's stick with Neymar. And I think that was more of like an ego move. Like, we don't want to get this reputation of like, you know, we were saying we were an elite club, but we're not acting like an elite club. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's the end of the... It's probably going to be the end of the discussions in terms of Neymar leaving. We've already talked about it at every single podcast we've had. We probably mentioned about Neymar leaving, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting... Yeah.
It's getting a little bit tiring. So basically, you know, you mentioned that there was, you know, an amazing schedule coming up of, you know, a lot of excitement. So, you know, August 3rd, which is, what, 3 days away from today? Yeah. German Super Cup, Bayern versus Dortmund. Bayern being the winner of, you know, the Bundesliga and did they win the domestic cup? I can't remember if they won the domestic cup. Let me just double check. DFB Pokal. Who won that last year? Current winner is Bayern Munich. So they won both of those. So that means that the runner up of those basically gets to play against Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Which is, I'm leaving the country, so by the time I come back, I'm gonna be able to watch. I'll be able to catch all of these, but most focus would be from August 9th to August 25th. That's gonna be nice, and then
before you jump into those, August 4th, Community Shield, Liverpool versus Man City. August 9th, Premier League kickoff and League One kickoff. August 14th, you have the UEFA Super Cup, Liverpool versus Chelsea, right? Mm-hmm. Liverpool Champions League winner versus Europa League winner, Chelsea. August 16th, La Liga kickoff and Bundesliga kickoff. And then August 25th is a Serie A kickoff. And September 17th, Champions League starts.
A day before my birthday. That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be dope. So that's kind of the schedule. It's, you know, we're not really going to go... Right when we started the podcast, we had the episode of, you know, we reviewed the previous season. We said who we, you know, who what we thought everything was going to look like. I don't think our predictions have changed all that much. So I don't think there's a reason for us to kind of sit down and preview every single league and try to, you know, it's better to just like kind of go through the topics as they come, uh-huh. Talk about the things that we see as they come, as opposed to trying to preview everything. It's just redundant. We're going to be wrong. Or we're going to be super right. It doesn't matter. But one thing that we do want to talk about that was a topic of discussion today was basically the FIFA The Best Awards, right?
Come on, man.
They came out with their 10-man shortlist, which I'll name off right now, which includes Frankie de Jong, Matthias de Ligt, Eden Hazard, Harry Kane, Sadio Mane, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Mohamed Salah, and Virgil van Dijk. What are your thoughts?
So I disagree on various points. I actually saw a post on this, and I found it real interesting how, for example, no disrespect to CR7, okay? But my question is, right, so I feel like the people that judge this list are people that don't watch soccer. I mean, you must not watch the games. You must not, I would say.
But that's the thing, though. Hold on a second. Just to make a point real quick. Because the guys that don't... I do have to disagree there because last year, the guys that voted on like last year's, which was stupid. They gave it to Modric. But the guys that did vote on it were... previous players, which were Kaká was on that list, Didier Drogba was on that list, Frank Lampard was on that list, Alessandro Nesta was on that list, Ronaldo, like the original Ronaldo, was on that list. And then you had other coaches on that list, which was, for one of them, Carlos Alberto Parreira was on that list. Fabio Capello, which was a very distinguished coach and very respected, is on that list. And they voted. That's the selection panel, and they voted Modric as the winner of last year. So, and I'm pretty sure these guys probably follow soccer. They probably watch it. Now, I don't know what the panel is this year, but.
Well, you know, it better not be former soccer players, because we're going to have some problems. Let me tell you something, man. What did Cristiano do this year to be top 10 on this list right now? I want you to answer that question for me.
I don't know.
Cristiano Ronaldo did not do anything. You want to talk about, oh, he scored three important goals in a game that was needed in the Champions League. And what else did he do?
Scored 22 goals, 8 assists in the Italian League One, Italian Serie A.
Okay, and?
That's about it. You know, they won the Serie A, and that's the only title that I think he got.
I mean, I don't know about Mr. Mo. I don't know about Harry Kane being on this list of top 10. I really don't know about that one.
Harry Kane on that list. I'm going to tell you right now, Harry Kane on that list aggravates the hell out of me.
It makes sense. Honestly.
Sense to me.
I would rather Firmino or Aguero. I mean, it makes no sense Aguero. To have.
Aguero should have been on that list. Honestly, it makes zero sense to me.
Why? I even have to disagree here with, of course, Eden Hazard. He had a good season for Chelsea, a really good season.
Yeah, they won the Europa League. You know, they won the Europa League. They overperformed. Mane.
Sadio Mane, okay, all right. I think he won the his team won the his international team won the
no
what you call it,
no
they didn't
win.
Didn't win it
no
they didn't win it
no
oh, I thought they did. Okay, Mbappe, yeah, he scored 33 goals in League One, but where was he in big games? What did he do? Did he help out the team?
And hold on a second. I just want to make a point real quick. Let me just jump back to Ronaldo, right? You said, yeah. What did Ronaldo do to get to this point, right?
Yeah.
So Ronaldo, in the Champions League alone, played a total of 9 games, scored 6 goals, produced 2 assists, which basically out of 9 games. 8 of those games, he either scored or set somebody else up to score. Okay?
Okay.
Serie A played a total of 31 games. Had 21 goals, 8 assists, which comes out to 29. So out of 31, 29 of those games, he either scored a goal or set somebody else up. Okay?
Okay.
He won the UEFA Nations League. Okay?
Okay.
Being the top scorer of that team. Those are the points I'm making. You know, it's easy to say, you know, oh, Ronaldo doesn't deserve to be in this list. But man, like, you got to hand it to him.
Okay, all right. You want to talk about that? All right, let's talk about that.
He carried that Juventus team. Because we were just talking about it, what, 20 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago? About how no one else in that team stepped up, including Dybala, to produce numbers for that team.
Okay. Let's look at it here. Let's see here. So we have, okay. So
Hold on a second. I just want to make one more point. His assist numbers this year were better than previous years as well. Ronaldo's not an assist guy. But in this team, he's learned a way to kind of try to feed other people and trying to, you know, build the guys around him and process him. And I think that alone, can, obviously, I don't think he should be included in the top three. I don't. But given his numbers, I think Ronaldo should at least be considered in the top 10.
Josh, all right, so let's look at numbers then, bro. So Messi scored 12
goals. No. Don't you can't compare Messi. You can't compare Messi to Ronaldo.
Why not?
Because Messi's on a whole other
league. I'm talking about players that are in the top 10. Let's talk about drastic. Yeah, let's talk about crazy numbers.
Messi's at the top echelon. Messi's number one. Messi had an amazing season. If you're looking at stats, Messi had an amazing season. You can't compare Ronaldo to Messi. Messi's not that number 10. Who is the worst player in this team? Who is the worst player in this top 10 list here?
Harry Kane? I mean...
Okay, then compare Ronaldo's numbers to Harry Kane and say, do you think that Ronaldo should have been on the list or Harry Kane should have been on the list?
Ronaldo should have been on the list, but if we're talking about caliber players, all players that are on that list, let's compare him to a top-tier player. A player that dropped numbers
You're trying to compare Ronaldo to the number one. Because I think Messi, when you're just talking statistics, you're just talking stats, Messi's number one on this list. Messi's number one on any list when you're just talking stats. When you're not factoring in the trophies that they won. Right? When you're not factoring in trophies, Messi's number one on this list automatically.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you can't say, oh, we have to compare Ronaldo to Messi. No, Messi's number one. So you don't compare Ronaldo. You should be comparing Ronaldo to the number 10 guy. Who's the number 10 in this list? And then because you're saying Ronaldo doesn't deserve to be on this list, right? That's what you're saying. That's what your point was.
Yeah, my analysis, yeah. I don't think he had an amazing season.
But you don't think Harry Kane deserves to be on the list either?
No.
Nope. So before we talk about Harry Kane, who do you think should be in Ronaldo's spot? Let's start with that argument.
So we're talking numbers. So Harry Kane scored a total of 17 goals. And how many goals did Ronaldo score for
domestic league?
Yes.
22.
Okay, he scored 17.
In how many games?
Let's see here. I don't know how many games he played.
Ronaldo put up the same amount of numbers as Aguero did.
Hold on, because I can't find it here, man. I'm not finding it. I'm not finding it here, man. He scored 17 goals. Let's see how many assists he had.
Let me look at Kane real quick. So Kane in the Premier League, 28 games played, right?
Okay. Let's do this. 28 games played.
That's more domestic league games than Ronaldo played. 17 goals and only 4 assists. So that's already a bad comparison. He played 9 games for the Champions League and scored 5 goals, less than Ronaldo. Same amount of games, less goals than Ronaldo. What else do we want to look at? I'll even look at like the UEFA Nations League, honestly, and it's like 6 games, 1 goal. And like, honestly, it's like I don't see why Kane is on this list at all. Kane missed like what, 2 months, 3 months out of the season.
But he still scored 17 goals though. So if he was there, he would have scored more. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. You can't put that argument there. You can't say, oh,
why can't I put that argument there?
No, because then we should put Neymar on this list. 2 years ago, we should have given the best player.
We can't put a player. This is players that have played, that have been active. Neymar has nothing to do with this list. He's not top 10 in the world.
No, listen. Two years ago. Neymar played half the season and like his efficiency ratings were off the roof. He was like on pace. He was on pace to like break every record. And then he got hurt that season. So off of that alone, off of the strength of that alone, we should have been like, oh, we got to give it to Neymar. Because if Neymar played a full season, then he would have blown everything, blown all the stats right out of the, you know, right out of the park. No, you, the thing is, okay, Kane missed two, three months out of the season. That should work against him, not for him. That should work against, that should argue against him, not for him.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, then let's do this. Let's put Harry Kane 10 and Ronaldo 9. How about we do that?
No, we're not going to rank these. We'll do, because then we'll spend all night arguing about. I want to take a look at all the. I want to take a look at some people that were snubbed, honestly. I want to take a look at some people that I feel like should have been included. I want to do a little bit of analysis to see who I would put together on this list. I think. I want to do that and see what happens. The other thing too, I want to look at. So next week, next podcast, next week, what we'll do is you'll give me your three and I'll give you my three, and then we'll revisit this list and see who we should cross out of this list and put into this list. Because that's definitely something interesting to look at. Is the next week we can do it. So we'll revisit that topic next week. And then since we're on the topic of FIFA, and then obviously the fact that we still have the Ballon d'Or. The Ballon d'Or is still something, you know, the fact that these two have split up, because it used to be FIFA World Player of the Year and it used to be Ballon d'Or, right? They used to be that award for a long time. The Ballon d'Or is older, but the FIFA World Player of the Year started in like the year 2001, 2000 or 1999. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then those were alongside each other. And then they joined in 2006 or 2007. They joined and they stayed joined for a while. And then they split up again like two to four years ago. I can't remember. So now we have these two awards. So now Ballon d'Or is going to put their list out of who their top 23 is. And we'll look at that. But yeah, so this is only the FIFA the Best Awards, which I hate that name. FIFA the Best. Makes no sense to me why they call it that. They should call it the FIFA 11 or FIFA, I don't know. The FIFA World Player of the Year was, to me, made the most sense. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's the best player in the world of that year. It just makes more sense. Moving on, FIFA versus PES. This is one I wanted to talk about. Because last week or 2 weeks ago, PES came out and made the announcement that Juventus had signed a exclusive licensing deal with them. Basically, that Juventus logo, Juventus kit, Juventus stadium would be only be present in the PES game and not present in FIFA. And EA took a huge hit in the stock market because people reacted very poorly to this. And you can't blame them. Juventus is one of the marquee teams in the world right now. Ronaldo's there. You know, they're one of the best teams. And when you're playing a game like FIFA or PES, you want to use Juventus. You don't want to use some black and white weird named team. Right?
Of course,
It's just annoying when you're having to pick a team and they don't have the logo, they don't have the kit, they don't have the right stadium. You know, it just throws you off. It just brings you out of that experience. You know, when you're playing with your buddies and you're like, you want to pick a team, you want to pick the team. You don't want to pick a bunch of dudes from that team that are using a different jersey with a different name. It just brings you out of that experience. It just doesn't complete that experience for you.
True.
So there's that. And then, you know, now we're looking back now. This alone has made me question if I want to stay on FIFA. This whole licensing thing.
Here we go with this. Oh man, this is gonna be good. I can't wait. I want to hear you speak on this.
Yeah. Well, I still have to play PES. I still have to figure out. And you've played. Let's talk about that first. You've played the demo.
Yes, I have.
What did you think?
So, my main issue with PES is the only thing is the fact that the players are too square. So the difference between both is
one of my friends was saying is the importance there is where FIFA really, really spends quality time on making each player their the way their significant player really is. The thing about PES is it's not like that. I mean, you look at Suarez, he looks like a square. And then he's running, he looks like robotic. When I played the game yesterday, it looks smooth. The thing is, it just takes some time to get used to. The graphics don't look like they present to be, you know, in the trailers. When you take a picture, when you look at a dude's face and they post it on the internet and they got a dude's face and it looks just like him, well, it doesn't look like that completely on the demo. And
I mean, it is just a demo, though. We gotta keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but we also gotta understand that FIFA has some competition in the sense of if PES gets the gameplay ability and the smoothness of FIFA into their system, they might lose a lot of FIFA players.
I think they're gonna lose a lot of FIFA players right now because I think people are just done with the mistreatment of the other game modes and not focusing on Ultimate Team. I mean, the fact that they're just focusing on Ultimate Team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They've literally just been focusing on Ultimate Team and they don't care about different modes like Pro Clubs has gone, you know, completely ignored. Career mode hasn't gotten the love that it needs that people have been asking for a long time. And now you have basically, you know, PES putting in work with a full-fledged career mode, a full-fledged manager mode. I don't know if their pro clubs is any good because I don't think there's enough players playing that on their system. And they don't have enough ultimate, whatever their ultimate team is called, they don't have enough players playing that. So that forces them to kind of focus on other areas, which is, you know, graphics is one of them. That their graphics is, at least their player models look the best when you're looking at, you know, picture-to-picture comparison. But if you're saying that when you're playing the game and you don't really see that and, you know, the gameplay isn't as fluid as, you know, FIFA, then it's kind of tough to kind of argue, you know, for going to PES. But I think it's going to be very interesting that PES is now back in the fold, at least being talked about, you know. To me, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to download the demo when I can, trying to give it a try. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I like the gameplay, if I can put up, because that's one of the things I hated so much about the past 5 years about PES is the robotic movement of the players. I hated that. I hated the robotic movement. And now, if they at least made some strides or try to fix that and try to make it a little bit more realistic looking. And I know you mentioned that the body types, it doesn't look like, it looks like every player has the same body type and yep. as opposed to FIFA that, you know, Messi looks like Messi and then Ronaldo looks like Ronaldo. Their body types are vastly different, right? And you see that in FIFA. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can see that in FIFA. In PES,
and I don't know if I can ignore that. If that's the case in PES, I don't know if I can just ignore that and accept that every player has the same body type. I'll have to see it. I'll have to like try it out and see what it looks like. But I can tell you right now, PES doesn't have all the licenses, but at least PES gives you the option to fix that by doing a patch upload, right? So basically, they call it option files, which basically somebody on the internet puts together and edits all these different things and puts it out there so you can download and patch up your game and add licenses, not add licenses, but add team emblems and logos, team jerseys and kits. Some of them, depending on how involved they are, you can download in stadiums and basically fix and patch your whole game so that it looks like it has licenses, mm-hmm. which is really cool. That to me is very, very cool. The only caveat of that is I wonder if they, because all I care about is the top five European leagues, right? The question to me is, I still have to figure out, does PES 2020 have the German league? Even if it's completely unlicensed, do they have it? That's the question. Because if they do, then you could just patch it and you get everything. And that's all I care about, is those top five leagues. And I might, honestly, I spend a lot of time playing career mode as a manager. I like grabbing teams like Newcastle United, and trying to fix them up. You know, I like grabbing teams like PSG, for example. I took PSG last year. I made a career mode with PSG, and I try to fix them up by, you know, selling a bunch of players and then kind of rebuilding that whole team from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that's something I like to do. And I do like Ultimate Team. Ultimate Team has just become a point now where if you don't spend more than $200, you're not going to have a nasty team.
That, yeah, true. Yeah,
and
true,
it's a sad true, reality. True. It's the truth, right? We've tried it. We all went, me, you, and a couple of our buddies together. We tried to all play Ultimate Team at the same time, and it got to a certain point where it was like, all right, our teams are starting to look the same, right? We had a lot of players in common. And we were like, this is the best we can do. This is the best team we can build, because we don't play every day. We don't play, you know, 8 hours a day to kind of save up all these coins to buy all these good players. So, and we're not, none of us are going to spend $200 to, and that $200 is like a very safe number. Honestly, there's people that have spent thousands of dollars out there. Yeah. So I think the debate is kind of still open. We're, you know, we have to see we'll have to see when the game comes out. We still have to play FIFA. We haven't played the new FIFA yet. There's FIFA also has that new game mode, Volta Football, whatever, the street mode. We don't know how that's going to look like. Yes. If that has a multiplayer component of it, if that has multiplayer, if I can play with you and my buddies together, like pro clubs, but street, I'm going to stay in FIFA. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stay in FIFA. But if it doesn't, then that's going to keep the options open. I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's something we can't make decisions yet. But I think it's a very interesting debate now, is that PES is back on the table to, you know, everybody's kind of looking at it. Now we can debate these two. But yeah, that's it for my thoughts. Do you have anything to add?
Man, nothing, man. I'm all set.
That's our podcast for this week. If you haven't yet, check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Instagram at the GoPost Pod. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to podcasts. And just give us support. Leave us a review if you can. And just continue supporting the show. And we'll be back next week.
Yes, sir.